Yo, what's going on, my peoples, and welcome to the show. And for anybody who may have been listening for the past, I don't know how many weeks since I've been back, you may have noticed that I've been heavy into the Arabic trap music. Yeah, I listen to that shit all the time, at home, in my car, and definitely been putting that shit into podcast episodes that I've been producing lately since I've been back, actually. So anyway, today I'm featuring music from Hoochie, Black, Mr. Carmack, Biz, and Gameface. All of those motherfuckers are Arabic trap producers, and that shit will be blazing all throughout both podcasts today. Over on the Raw Conversations podcast, I'm talking to Corbin Macklin, actually wrapping up my conversation with that nigga, because we had like a 3-hour conversation over the phone a few weeks ago, and today I'm playing bits and pieces of what was left over from that. Yeah, we talk about the fact that wrestling is gay, which it is, and he knows it is. We talk about the fact that Corbin can get chicks, but he just can't keep them bitches. And we talk about the fact that Corbin Macklin's granddad was a straight-up hater, and he couldn't stand that nigga. And then he died. Nah, that's kind of sad. So yeah, all of that shit is available right now on the Raw Conversations podcast. It's available on iTunes, Podomatic, and Stitcher. Just go there and do a search for the player hater, and you can download that shit and listen to it right now. It's available. Alright, but anyway, coming up in this particular podcast right here, I got Mr. Span from the Span Report. Now I invited that nigga on so we can talk about the fact that cops are on some shooting nigga shit, and you know, Mr. Span's a gun carrier, so I flat out asked that motherfucker, if it came down to a situation of you having to shoot a cop and killing that motherfucker to protect yourself, could you do it? So anyway, he answers that question, plus we talk about a whole bunch of other shit coming up right now on the Player Hater Podcast. So let's get into that shit.
Player Hater Mode activated. Back once again with a brand new episode. It's time for the Player Hater Podcast. Today Mr. Player Hater talks to Mr. Span from the Span Report. They discuss cops shooting black folks. Would Mr. Span shoot a cop? What he does for fun? And what's important in his life? So without further hesitation, here's Black Podcasting's sexiest host, the Morris Chestnut of podcasting, Mr. Player Hater.
It was crack-a-lackin', Junior Haters. As I try to come on and act like you didn't just hear me talk like a few seconds ago, right? Whatever. But as I mentioned before, Mr. Span is here today. And the last time that dude was on this show was a couple years ago, where we talked about the fact that he was fighting a gun charge. But today, we're gonna talk about the fact that he does carry a weapon with him all the time. This nigga's always strapped. So does he feel like he's more of a threat to police since he has a gun? And if he's pulled over by the cops, is he extra nice to the motherfuckers just to make sure they don't shoot his black ass up? Yeah, I ask him that. Also ask him, like, what you do for fun? Do you do white people type shit like bungee jumping and hang gliding? And what's something about you that people would be surprised by? Yeah, I go deep on this thing. So that's coming up right now. Let's not waste no time. Let's dive right into it.
Okay, good deal. So let's jump into this, because this is one of the main reasons I wanted to talk to you to get your opinion on what's going on socially and worldwide. Because I'm not heavily into politics or the news or any of that shit. But you can't help but see it. Like, what's going on? You know, niggas getting shot, cops just straight on some let's just kill a nigga type shit, it seems, across the country. So what's your opinion about that?
Well, honestly, I think that, like, all of it is fucked up, you know, to a certain degree. And it's to a point now where, like, even being careful doesn't necessarily keep you safe from anything happening to you, right? We've seen police shoot dudes in the back just running away now. We've actually seen this on video. People have watched this happen. So even being careful, even in certain instances, being compliant. There was another instance in South Carolina where a guy got shot after the officer told him to show him some identification. He goes and reaches back into the car to get the ID. The officer shoots him in the hip. So even when you're compliant, some shit could happen to you. It's one of those things where I kind of think that this is the kind of thing that has been happening a lot all the time, but we didn't necessarily have the surveillance that we have now. You know, now everybody has cell phones. Everybody has a security camera mounted anywhere, like the police cars have dash cams mounted. Some police officers are already walking around with body cams. There are cameras and recording devices everywhere now. So I think the fact of the matter is we're seeing it more now because there are more means to record it. It's probably always been this way. And we've heard these stories all the time. But because we're able to actually see these things happen, it's brought an awareness that, not only black people have always had, but everybody else can now see that this is some shit that we've been trying to tell y'all for the longest.
Yeah, and you, like you just mentioned, the dude reached into his glove compartment and got shot by the cops in one incident you just described. And I know last time we talked, you talked about you keeping your gun and just in a console in your car. I don't know if you still do that. But you now, with a concealed carrying permit and the fact that you have guns, how do you feel as a dude who carries guns knowing that you have a weapon? And it's a two-part question. A, do you feel more protected now because you can then retaliate, or do you think you could actually shoot a motherfucking cop if it came down to you?
Well, one, the thing with having a gun isn't necessarily protecting me against police, right? That was never the reason why I had it. It was more so my thing with having the gun was taking my own protection into my own hands and not depending upon the police to do that, because generally speaking, the police come after some shit happens. So in the meantime, while folks are calling the police, what am I to do? You know what I mean? So I still carry my gun. I mean, I don't, and generally speaking, if a police officer pulls me over, he already knows that I'm licensed because he's already run the plate. So I just had an instance happen a couple months ago where an officer pulled me over for tinted windows, right? I'm just minding my own business, tinted windows. And, I'm nervous because now of all of these things happening, and I do have a weapon in the car, which would give him even more reason to maybe be a bit jumpy, that now I'm rolling the windows down. I'm putting my hands out of the window as he's walking up to the car. Just to kind of make it plain that, look, dude, I'm not a threat. And then I identify that I have a gun in the car. And then, he tells me, well, the reason I stopped you is because you got tinted windows. You need to get these tents taken off. And it's like, okay, cool. Just give me the ticket. Just give me the ticket. Let's just make this as painless as possible. Give me the ticket. I'll fight this some other way. I'm not about to litigate this with you on the side of the road where there could be an escalated incident. So it's one of those things where now with all of these things happening with police, and especially with police and black men, it's something that's always present in my mind when I get pulled over. But at the same time, try to mitigate the circumstances, try to make this dude feel as comfortable as possible so that this traffic stop can go as smoothly as possible and I can go on about my way. Yo, what's going on, everybody? This is Mr. Stan of the Sparrowport Podcast, and you're listening to the Player Hater Podcast. Real podcast for all you real cats out there. Check them out for the 2015. The brother's back. Get at it.
Yeah, but let's just say hypothetically, and I'm not hoping anything like this ever happens. Let's just say hypothetically, you come across that one cop who's just like a fucking nigga type cop. And you're being compliant, you're doing everything you feel as though you need to do to make the situation as seamless and smooth as possible. And like you said, to prove that you're not a threat to this officer. But he just happens to be one of those motherfucking officers who doesn't like black folks. And you come across a situation to where it's like your life or his life. I don't know, you got out the car, maybe he's pushing you around and handling you just a little too rough, and you feel as though your life is threatened. What would you do? Or could you shoot a cop in a situation like that?
Here's the thing, like, I have to be in a point where I feel like my life is in danger before I pull my weapon on anybody, right? The fact of the matter is, if I'm in a situation where I'm dealing with a police officer and there's an altercation somewhat, at the end of the day, I still have to, the benefit of the doubt isn't necessarily going to be given to me. And we've seen that. We've seen the police officers, pretty much get off with when he had a gun or he was trying to go for my gun. And now, even if I'm right, I'm still dead and wrong, right? Because if I do shoot this guy, now I'm a cop killer. Everybody, all you white folks won't be dead. I'm I'm pretty much on edge all the time. I got to watch where I go and everything else. It's talking to you online and whatnot, right? But I'm a hero to the black community because I got this pig off the street. Right? But then at the same time, I have to deal with the consequences of, okay, now you got to go to trial. Now you could possibly lose the rest of your life behind bars. You know, all of these things are kind of playing out in the back of your head. But at the base level of it, you want to get to a point, you want to make this to where it doesn't get to that point. And that's what that whole making this cop feel comfortable shit is about. You want to, at the base level, avoid that at all costs. That's pretty much what I'm trying to do, is to avoid those kind of situations. Even with the gun, I'm not looking for a fight with anybody. I'm just looking to just kind of mind my own business. And if it comes to it, if I have to, if I desperately have to, then yeah, something's going to go down. And hopefully, I'm not on the business end of it, or I'm not on the wrong end of it. But at the base level, my operations when dealing with police is to make sure that I don't even have to, it doesn't even escalate to that point. So even if he does come to me wrong, disrespectfully, and everything else, my mindset is, on the back end of this, there's a way to fight this that doesn't involve me killing this dude. So that's how you have to kind of mentally prepare yourself, and that's how you kind of have to operate when you walk around with a gun, man. You can't just, you know, at the end of the day, the gun can't be the end-all, be-all. Even with the gun, you have to have other tools and mental capacity to kind of navigate around a lot of those situations. So what I pride myself on is trying to mentally navigate around these situations to it where it doesn't get to a point where it's my life or his, and I'm taking his.
Yes, sir, I can respect that. Now, check this out. Do you think, given the circumstance, given the environment we're living in, like you said, it's probably always been this way, but now everybody has some way of videotaping shit and having proof of it. So let's say we, even with the mindset, and I do believe to a certain degree, it's always been going on, but now it's more publicized, and like you said, everybody has cell phones that they can videotape and record it now, and it's proven what the people have been saying all along. So, given all of that, do you think it's even worth it? What we just talked about, plus just everything involved, do you think it's worth it to even have a concealed weapons permit and still carry a gun? Do you think it's still worth it?
Indeed. Indeed. Because, again, the reason that I carry is for, is my taking the responsibility of my safety into my own hands and not relying on anybody else for that. So, going back, my whole thinking is I'm not relying on the police to protect me. You know what I mean? If I'm out on my day to day and I'm out and about and maybe shopping or something like that, or I may be putting gas in my car or whatever, there could be a situation where, yeah, something's happening and it's an immediate situation. Police are nowhere around. Nobody can call the cops yet because for whatever reason it may just be me and this person involved in this altercation. No one's there at that particular moment to call the police. And the police get there, now they got to decipher what the hell happened. So my thinking with carrying a weapon is that my safety is for me to protect. Nobody else's responsibility is nobody else that has a responsibility but me. So even dealing with the fact that, you know, you have police that are on some kill a nigga shit, even though you have some white folks who are on some kill a nigga shit, even though you may have a situation where it might be another brother who, for whatever reason, decides he wants to try you in a situation where it could be your life or his. At the end of the day, I have to protect me. Regardless of whether or not, regardless of what the police are doing, regardless of what these white folks are doing, regardless of what other brothers are doing, my responsibility for my safety lies in me. So that's why I care. I carry because nobody else is going to protect me the way that I protect me. Nobody else is going to love me the way that I love me. So I would much rather be in a situation where, like, you know, I do have some kind of means to protect myself as opposed to I'm just assed out. Just, you know, now it is what it is. Somebody's taking me out and I had no means of stopping it whatsoever. So that's my mindset, brother.
Protesters tonight are vowing to shut down the Detroit suburb of Inkster after stunning dashcam video emerges showing an African-American man severely beaten by white police officers after a traffic stop. 57-year-old retired auto worker Floyd Dent, who works for Ford for 37 years and who has no criminal history, was driving in Inkster in January. He was pulled over by police for a traffic violation as seen on this police dashcam video. A warning, what you're about to see is very disturbing. As police approach Dent's car, Dent opens the door, prompting an officer to raise his weapon after a brief exchange, during which officers claim Dent appeared to be reaching for something in the vehicle and said to them, quote, "I'll kill you." Another officer pulls the retired auto worker out of the vehicle and pushes him to the ground. The first officer then puts Dent in a chokehold and then starts to punch him repeatedly in the head. The second officer struggles to put Dent in handcuffs. In the video, you can see Dent being punched in the head 16 times.
Okay. So when's the last time you got into an altercation with a dude? An argument, a disagreement, or to the point where it almost came to blows, actually came to blows? When's the last time that happened?
Oh, man, shit, that's been so long, I can't even remember. I might have been a teenager the last time I really got into an altercation with a guy where, like, blows. Oh, I take that back, college. In college. Sophomore year in college, we got to, like, a brawl. And it wasn't just me. It was, you know, a couple guys I was with and a couple guys that, we was at a cute party in college, and we got to do a little scuffle or whatever, but that was, shit, thinking back on it, that was like maybe 13, 14 years ago now, you know, and a lot of it is, you know, pretty much how you carry yourself, man. It's a lot of it is how you carry yourself, and a lot of it is the circles that you surround yourself with, too. So I don't put myself in places where I feel like I might have to scrap tonight. You know what I mean? I try not to be places or interact with people where I feel like, yo, I'm going to have to knock this motherfucker's head off. That ain't how I roll. A lot of times, man, be quite honest with you, I'm a homebody. If I'm not at home, then I'm out with my girl. If I'm not out with my girl, then I'm at work. Very little opportunity to get involved in some bullshit. You know what I mean? So I try to avoid being in situations like that at all costs. But, you know, every now and again, you might get into a discussion with somebody at work, so to speak. Get into a discussion with somebody at work, and you may disagree with his perspective or whatever, but it's not going to go no further than that because both of y'all got something to lose, and that's your important. So, for me, it's circles, circumstances, and behavior. You know, like I said, I'm a homebody. I stay at home more often than not. If I'm out and about, nine times out of ten, I'm out with my woman, and that's it. That's pretty much it.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned that you carry yourself a certain way. Let me ask you, and maybe, I don't know, let's just think back to days maybe before you had your gun and used to carry your gun around. Do you walk different now? Do you feel a little more confident now, like walking with a gun? Does it sort of change your perspective on things, knowing that you do have that protection walking around a lot?
Well, I think the thing of it now is, because of the responsibility of carrying that, you kind of know that, like, you do have there's a sense of power that comes with it. Let's make that plain. There's a sense of power that comes with that. But at the same time, because it's Michigan, and because it's Wayne County, and because there's so many people carrying guns in Wayne County, you can't operate under the assumption that you're the only one attacking. So, you know, it's almost like how you think about with like the Cold War with the United States and Russia, where it's like both of them have nuclear weapons, and both of them can wipe each other off of the face of the earth. And so because you got these, with an assured destruction for both, it kind of, there's a bit of restraint that comes with that. So even in having it, you know, you have that responsibility of, I could take this person out. Do I really want to do that? And is this person worth the rest of my life for me to do that? Honestly, for me, it gives me a bit of a restraint. Now, how I carry myself is the same pretty much across the board. Man, I'm still respectful to folks when I see them. I acknowledge folks when I see them. You know what I mean? I open doors for folks and everything else. Be who you are. Don't let that gun change you to the point where, like, you're just looking for a fight all the damn time. And that's not how I rolled anyway. But at the same time, having that gun on you does give you a sense of power. And it can, you know, for a lot of folks, give them a power trip to where they're always looking for something. Like, you know, they say, like, when you have a gun, it becomes the gun is like a hammer, and every problem becomes nail, and you look at the nail everything down. That can happen. I try to operate in a space where I'm not in that kind of mindset to where everything is, let me go shoot something.
Hey, let me ask you this. Let's put things in perspective. So, like, get a priority. Like, what's important to you in life? I want to try to find out, like, what's important to you in life. You know how some people say God, money, and family, or whatever the bullshit is. Like, for you, like, in order, like, what things are important to you, starting with most important to least important?
Oh, man. Me, most important thing is security. And not even just so much like physical security and safety and things like that, but just like financial security, being able to financially provide for my family, being able to do the things that I want to do when I want to do them. You know what I mean? I think financial security is the biggest thing for me. And then everything else kind of falls in line behind that, you know? That's just pretty, yeah. Financial security is the biggest thing for me.
Okay, so what's the biggest thing? Money is one, so yeah, money is one, so like what's second, third, and fourth?
Second, third, fourth. My woman, my child, my family, you know, the typical things that most men who have the people in their lives that they care about, you know, would put up, you know what I mean? I want them to be happy, I want them to be safe, I want them to be able to have things that they want. You know, the whole provider thing is big with me right now. You know, being able to provide for those around me and those that I love. So, that's why I guess I said financial security is probably the number one, because it allows me to do those things for other people. You know, not so much, you know, taking care of me, but just like I know that there are people that depend upon me to get things done and to and kind of take care of. So that's a responsibility in and of itself that I don't think enough of us take put a lot of thought into. So just number one, financial security, but then at the same time, you know, my woman, my daughter, my family, all of those are big with me. I'm real big on family. I'm a sentimental cat like that.
Okay, I appreciate that. And this is a way for me to get to know a little more about you, and for people who may be listening as well. Like, what's something we may be surprised about with you? Like, I don't know, maybe you're a member of the Elton John fan club, you got the Barry Manilow CD collection. Like, something. What's something we would be surprised about?
Nah, man, I think the biggest thing that she surprised that would probably surprise a lot of folks is that I watch a lot of, like, Real Housewives. Like, the Housewives of Atlanta is my shit. I watch that shit. And I love every bit of it. It's not something like a lot of brothers would admit to. But I sit up and I watch this shit all the time. That and Scandal. There's a lot of brothers that don't like Scandal, but I watch Scandal. So, like, I guess, like, watching shows like that, like, that's something that a lot of that folks might find a bit surprising. Like, you watch that? Come on, man. I don't even know shit that me and watch. What the fuck you doing? I've had that conversation. I've had that conversation with some brothers, man.
Oh yeah,
man, this is good TV. You on some bullshit.
So yo, what is it about the Housewives show that you like?
It's just interesting to me to see, like, to kind of watch how women operate and how they move. You know what I mean? Like, how they interact with one another. You know, it's almost like an anthropological kind of thing. Like, man, there's the way that women operate and move when they're around us, and then there's the way that they move and they operate amongst each other. So in a way, they kind of like try to, even though I think this is a real poor way of doing it, but in a way to try to understand women, kind of watch some of the shows that they watch and try to follow the logic in what it is that they're doing and why they chose to go that way. Now, a lot of time it isn't necessarily like on these kind of shows, it's a bit sensational and everything else. And sometimes they're a bit over the top. But for me, it's like, okay, I think I think it's entertaining. And then, two, it's really just like, okay, I'm trying to watch how these women move and what makes them tick and why do they make certain decisions. You know what I mean? It's a train wreck to a certain extent, but at the same time, I'm really just watching to see how they move. And not only that, black women love this show. I want to understand why black women love it.
You are listening to the most original, innovative, and progressive podcast in the country.
Images by Tyrone Green. Dark and lonely on the summer night. Kill my landlord. Kill my landlord. Watchdog barking. Do he bite? Kill my landlord. Kill my landlord. Slipping in window. Breaking neck. Then there's a house I start to wreck. Got no reason. What the heck? Kill my landlord. Kill my landlord. C-I-L-L. My landlord.
Now, let's get back to the Player Hater Podcast.
No doubt, no doubt. So let me ask you again as a way to sort of get to know a little more about you, for folks to find out about you,
yeah,
to know about you. I'm like, what do you do for fun? Do you play ball at all, basketball, football, like what, chess, checkers? Like, what do you do for fun, brother?
Well, for one, you know I go shooting. But I play video games, man. I sit up, I play with my Xbox, I play with my PlayStation. I usually sit back and I do that to relax. You know what I mean? You know, my job is real physical, so, like, by the time I get home from work, I don't really feel like doing a whole hell of a lot. So, for me, shooting, playing video games, going out to the movies, man. Every now and then we go out to the movies, going out to nice restaurants. That's even one of my favorite pastimes. But for the most part, man, I go shooting and I play video games. That's pretty much how, that's how I stay out of trouble, man. I'm at home.
Yeah,
I'm at home. I'm playing video games, man. Talking shit with 13-year-old wife was talking about how they fuck my mama.
So what video games you into? Like, what's the shit that you like to play when you play?
I played Destiny on the Xbox One, and then I got NBA 2K15 on my PlayStation 4, and I'm really into my NBA 2K15 because it's like they got the My Career mode where you pretty much, it's like a role-playing game where, like, you navigate your career as an NBA basketball player from beginning to the end, pretty much. So I'm just trying to, like, make this dude the greatest player of all time before I go ahead and hang it up and make him retire.
All right, so what position you got yourself playing?
Shooting guard for the Bulls. And I got my Nike endorsement, too, so I got to design my own kicks, man. They're pretty fly. You should get a pair.
Would you name your shoes? What's the name of your shoes?
Oh, man, they're the Air Stan 37s, man. Air Stan 37. You know, it's funny with the game, too, though, because they had an endorsement with, like, Nike ID to where, like, you could actually design the shoes in the game and then actually have those shoes made. I don't know if they're still doing that or not, but I know a couple of years ago, you could actually design your shoes in the game and they would make them for you and you could actually have them made.
Yo, that's pretty. So, yo, are you, like, a Nike fanatic? Do you have, like, Nike shoe collection and all that shit or what?
Nah, not really. It all depends on the shoe. A lot of times, like, I'll rock a pair of Jordan. I got a few pair of Air Max, but then I rock a pair of Adidas, too. I got some, what's that? Hell, I even got, like, a pair of, like, Rockport. And it's funny because, like, Rockports are, like, one of those kind of shoes where, like, folks associated with, like, orthopedic and old folks. But, like, here in Michigan, like, I don't know if it's specific to just Michigan, but they have, like, Rockport shoes. They have really nice casual shoes, man. So, you know, every now and again, I might pull those. It's been a long time since I did, but I'm not real specific as to, you know, brand or anything like that. So long as they look good and they're comfortable, man, I'm cool with them.
Okay. So, yo, you ever done any crazy shit like bungee jumping or ziplining or paddleboarding? Not the paddleboarding is crazy, but, like, you know, any white people type shit. You ever done anything crazy like that?
No, I haven't. I do want to go, like, I said one of the things I did want to do, I wanted to go parasailing, man. That shit looks like fun. It looks like the closest thing you'll get to flying outside a hang glide. So I didn't say I wanted to do something like that, go on a cruise or something to, like, the Dominican Republic and be in the Atlantic Ocean parasailing. That shit looks like fun. So I haven't had the opportunity to do it just yet, but pretty soon it'll happen. It'll happen soon enough.
Alright, so that's going to wrap it up for today. But don't forget, you can join the anti-social movement and the underground podcast movement. You can follow me on Twitter My name is Mr. Player Hater, MR Player Hater. You can also like my shit on Facebook. Believe it or not, I'm promoting this bullshit. The Player Hater page on Facebook. Just go to the Player Hater podcast. And you can like my shit, write a comment, or do whatever the fuck you want to do. And speaking of leaving a comment, yeah, if you really feel bold, you can call my voicemail at 646-755-9844. Niggas are scared to call me for some reason. Yeah, 646-755-9844. I dare you to call. All right, niggas, until next time, yo. Let's keep your motherfucking hate up.
Cool, that'll work. Yo, that'll work, I mean. Yo, is there anything else you want to talk about, brother? Because I just want to talk about certain things, like I said, the gun topic, anything like that. Anything was on your mind today?
Well, you know what? Like, I'm doing my show tonight, live. I'm going to be talking about a few things, man. Like, I got a co-worker that admitted to being a crackhead to me this week. So I'm kind of... I'm kind of talk a bit about that, man. I'm going to talk about that Floyd Mayweather-Pacquiao fight a little bit, and like in regards to like the attitude black men have about domestic violence and shit. And yeah, then I'm going to do like a Mother's Day tribute, you know, because it's Mother's Day weekend and whatever else. So I'm gonna speak on that. But I do my shows live on YouTube now, man. So if you want to check it out, you can check it out.
Yeah, I do want to check that out. You do them on a specific night or what?
I usually do them on Saturday nights at 9 o'clock. So right now I got the Google Hangouts already, like, set up, ready to go. So I go live at 9. And then, like, you could either watch it from my website or you can go to YouTube, type in the Fan Report. It'll take you to my channel, and then you can watch it live from right from YouTube.
Okay, that's what's up. And I appreciate that. Yeah. I mean, you get that information out there.
All right, man. Appreciate it.